Welcome back to another episode of the Profitable Audience Podcast. Today we're going to talk about something that I would say practically every e-commerce store owner has to do, which is add a blog to their existing online store. And I know, Tony, you just did this recently, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's no content on the blog. It doesn't even have a full WordPress install yet. But I got very frustrated in the process, and I started thinking about how I've set up many blogs and I've set up many stores, but yet the process of doing both was really annoying. And I thought, if I'm annoyed and I'm actually an experienced person, I can't imagine what this would be like for someone who was brand new to, one, selling online, and then, two, creating content.
What's funny about this is I have a lesson in my course that covers this, and it's really technical. And then Tony said the lesson sucked. So I was like, huh. I remember when I was creating that, I was like, man, this is a lot of steps. Like, I don't know if people are going to like this. And yeah. I guess that's true.
Yeah. So yeah. I would love to just talk through the steps, because I think this is critical, right? If you are selling a physical product and you are selling off of Amazon, you need to have some sort of content base for your brand. So whether it's a blog where you're going to host YouTube, you know, you're going to embed your YouTube videos, or, you know, it's just more of like a landing page for people to find more content, or free printable instructions. You know, a lot of products need detailed instructions on how to use them. So maybe you're not, like, I think when we say blog, sometimes people are like, oh, I don't want to have to make content three times a week. But even, you know, any place where some, like, I actually was on Bumblebee Linens today, and it's not like you're updating the content there on a, you know.
Actually, what's funny about that is I'm looking for a writer for it right now.
So, yeah. But I think people are like, I don't have time for that. But I do think you have time to be creating two pieces of content a month for a website to
for
help.
Sure.
Help grow your brand, give your brand a personality, introduce people to you, whatever you're doing. It just really depends on the type of product you're selling, obviously. But I think it's something that people have to do, but it's also something that I think people don't do because it's intimidating.
Yeah. You know, Bumblebee Linens actually isn't a good example for today because it's my own site. It's all in the same domain, so to speak, right?
Yes. Yeah. So that's my first question for you. So this is going to be like a Q&A where I'm going to pick your brain, because I don't even know if I did stuff correctly. Because
I'm sure you did.
Well, I did it correctly in that it's working.
Yeah, then that's it, right? Yeah. If it works, it's correct.
And I haven't actually completed the final step yet, which is on my list for tomorrow. But my first question is, so let's take out people that are on Woo, because you're already on WordPress.
Correct.
Yep. So that's, and actually if you sign up with like Bluehost, they'll automatically, like if you, when you go through that little, I actually signed up on Bluehost and went through the whole process because I was like, I want to like do this as like a
Did you video it, hopefully?
Of doing Blue, no, because it's like two steps now. It's so easy. So well, the people that are.
It's not actually, unfortunately.
Well, the people in our, no, it is easy because they literally install WordPress for you.
They do, but the whole part about setting up your domain in SSL, they've made overly complicated. That's why I wanted to refilm that tutorial. But anyway, go on.
So we're going to take out the people that are on Woo because you already have WordPress installed. You don't really have to worry about this, I would say, unless I'm not understanding how Woo works. But from what I saw this week, it seems like that's pretty simple. So let's talk about people who are on another platform like BigCommerce, Shopify. We're not going to talk about people like you who have built their own website. Because that's another level.
No one should do that ever.
No.
Yeah.
So what I noticed is a couple of my friends who have e-commerce stores have their store as their subdomain. So they have shop.passionatepennypincher.com or store.notconsume.com. But I think that was set up that way because they had a blog first and the blog was the like primary driver of traffic.
Right.
Most stores that I see have their blog set up on a subdomain. So that's how I did it. I set up my blog as it's blog.storename.com.
Yeah. So you're asking me if that.
Is that wrong or right?
My philosophy is always money first, content second.
That was my philosophy. That's why I did it that way. And since it was all brand new, it wasn't like I'm putting this on the Happy Housewife and I'm creating a store on the Happy Housewife, which then I would absolutely have to do store.happyhousewife.com or shop.happy, whatever that would be. I feel like if I had an established content site, then I would have to make the shop on the subdomain. But because I didn't, everything was brand new. The shop has the domain and the blog has a subdomain.
Yeah, that's how I would have done it too. Like, assuming you're starting from complete scratch, that's definitely how I would do it.
Okay. So the next thing is that on my last store, I actually had the blog on Shopify.
Right.
And just created content there. But this time I've decided to put the blog on WordPress.
Right.
Which then got me all kerfluffled, which is not a word, but that's how I felt.
Is it? I think it is a word now.
Is it? Okay. Yeah. It should be, because that was that was the word that I kept. Kerfluffled. Yeah. Yes, I was kerfluffled at the whole thing. So the first thing I did, so I was just walking through the steps. I bought my domain on GoDaddy. Pretty simple. Everyone knows how to do that.
Well, okay, right. So you set up your Shopify store first.
Set up my, well, so you can, when Shopify, I'm sure your people know this, but people listening might not. If you want to start a Shopify store, they give you like a 2-week free trial. And if you don't have anything pointed to it, it has like the name of your store dot myshopify.com. And so if you never connect your domain to that, that's what your store will look like in a URL, which you don't want. You don't want Shopify in your URL.
Did you know that that URL always exists?
Yes. It's redirect, right? Doesn't it redirect?
I think it redirects after a while. But no, yeah, it does. It redirects, yeah.
Yeah. Which I also think is kind of weird, but...
I agree. That's why I brought it up.
Yeah, does BigCommerce do the same thing?
No.
Okay. So then I had to point my domain to Shopify, which you do inside the Shopify platform. It's pretty easy. I think I had to go do one thing in GoDaddy. That was pretty simple. But then when I went to set up the blog, I was like very confused. This is where I got kerfluffled. Because typically when you set up a blog, you pick a hosting platform and you set it up, you point your domain to the hosting platform, you do all the little technical things that I don't remember what I did. I mean, I literally just watched tutorials and did it. It was basically following directions. But then I realized that, no, I can't do that because my domain actually has to point to Shopify. So I had to set up a subdomain in Bluehost, which I wasn't sure like where the subdomain, like I wasn't sure where that had to like live.
Yeah.
So I set it up in Bluehost.
Are we really going to talk about this live on a podcast?
We are. Because I think there's probably a lot of people like me who spent a lot of time like Googling stuff because they weren't quite sure.
Okay.
Like if it was just straight up domain, I would have been fine. But the subdomain just threw me for a loop.
This is where it gets confusing. Okay. Like on your Bluehost account in your example.
Yes.
You actually have to set up a blog dot.
Yes.
Your domain dot com, even though your domain's not being hosted on Bluehost. Because Bluehost as a server just needs to know that's where it lives.
Yeah, so that was my first piece of confusion was I just assumed that if you had a subdomain, it lived on the same host as the domain. I didn't realize that a subdomain could live on a separate hosting platform as the domain. So that was my first bit of enlightenment.
Okay, it technically doesn't, but the server needs to know that that's where it lives.
So where is it? Where is it in the internet?
It's nowhere until you point your domain at it.
Okay.
Anyway, I can't believe we're talking about this, but okay, fine. If you want, we can talk about it.
I do.
Okay.
It didn't make sense to me. Like I needed it to make sense. So make it make sense, please. In your Chufucius way.
Just your server needs to know what domain it's pretending to be.
Okay.
Like, you know, where the website's running. And then the actual final piece of that is when the domain, like your GoDaddy or whatever, Namecheap, actually points to that server.
Okay.
Right. So in your GoDaddy, you're going to say blog dot points to that server, whereas your main store points to Shopify.
Yes.
And it's technically the same base domain.
Okay.
That's the confusing part. And that's probably what I didn't explain in my video in the course, I'm guessing.
I think that's what you missed.
Yeah.
Because that's where I just couldn't. So I didn't realize. Yeah. So there was just a bunch of confusion there. I will say that, and I signed up for Bluehost because we recommend Bluehost. And so I thought it'd probably be good for me to use Bluehost. Well, okay, let me be honest. I tried to do this through Liquid Web, and I was like, F this. Like, it was so confusing. And I was like, I probably spent an hour reading tutorials because I was like, I'll just host it on the same domain as my other, you know, the same server as my other stuff because it's not getting a ton of traffic, at least now.
No, you should. You should have used Liquid Web, actually. If you're already paying for it, you wouldn't have to pay for anything more.
I am. But I started to like look. It was just, I was like, I can't figure this out. I couldn't find the folder. It wanted you to find folders and like create stuff.
Yep.
In Bluehost, it's literally like ordering an Uber.
Correct. What? Yeah. Bluehost is infinitely easier, except they make it a little more complicated than it should be.
But once I realized, okay, I need to create the subdomain and then in Bluehost, and then I need to go over to GoDaddy and change something so that it points to Bluehost. But the thing is Bluehost actually does that for you to an extent where it's like you hit the, so you look at that left menu in Bluehost, if you guys are on Bluehost, and it says like domain, blah, blah, blah. The very bottom is subdomain. All you do is click on that and literally type in blog.
Correct.
Like, or whatever the subdomain is going to be.
We're going to lose all of our listeners after this episode, Tony. All two of them. We're going to lose them.
No, they're not. They're going to be like, thank you, Jesus. Someone finally showed us how to do this.
Okay.
But when you, if you literally Google how to set up a subdomain with Bluehost, you go to the, it takes you to the Bluehost knowledge base.
Correct.
And within, once I figured out that's what I needed to do, I was done in 5 minutes.
Oh, okay.
The problem was I didn't realize that I needed to do one on Shopify. I didn't realize that they needed to be separated.
Yes.
But also together on GoDaddy, right? So it's like a little triangle. But I will say on Bluehost, once I got to that, I literally clicked on subdomain, added blog. They said, go do this at GoDaddy. But actually, you can just click this button and we'll do it for you. You just have to be logged in. And so you click this button and basically all you do is change the IP over in GoDaddy.
Right. And correct. Yes.
Yeah.
So Bluehost does that for you? I don't think they do that.
They do almost everything for you. Yes, they do.
No, but they have no control over your GoDaddy account.
If you click it and it says, make sure you're logged into GoDaddy.
Oh,
and it goes,
got it. Okay. That must be a new feature.
Yes.
Okay.
And then it's like, bing, bing, bing. You're connected. You have a site. Yay.
Nice. Okay. So they made it easier. How about that?
Yes.
Okay.
So, but I will say, like, so if you're doing this, buy your domain. Connect it to your Shopify store so you're not such and such.shopify.com. Then pick your hosting. We talk about Bluehost. I paid for the whole year. It was like some stupid cheap amount of money, $39 or something. I don't know. Set up your subdomain in Bluehost, then go back and connect that to GoDaddy. The whole process, if I would have known that that was the steps, I would have been done in 25 minutes, mainly because I can never remember my password.
Okay. Well, probably now that you have a Bluehost account and if you don't feel like paying for it, you should move it over to your Liquid Web account, which you're already paying.
I am.
Like $50 a
month.
But
Liquid Web was just too dang, like it did not, I could not figure out how to set up a subdomain in there. It just kept taking me back to Happy Housewife. It wouldn't let me create anything new.
Yeah, I can walk you through that, which we're definitely not going to do
on this
episode.
We're not doing here.
Okay, let's move on because we've probably bored everyone already.
We did not. People are
people
like, this
don't
is...
want to know that stuff. Okay,
go on. I guarantee that part of the reason why people don't take action is because they're paralyzed in a step that they don't know how to do.
Sure. But how many people listening are going to have this problem? Anyway,
everybody
okay,
who has everybody who's selling on Amazon right now and freaking out because Amazon is killing them and... They're
well,
like,
let's
I need
answer
to start
the bigger
else.
Question,
okay.
Which is why you went with WordPress in the first
just
place.
Functionality, capabilities. I know Shopify blog has come a long way since I started blogging on Shopify in 2015, but I just am so familiar with WordPress, I'd rather blog on WordPress.
So what's funny about this is our mutual friend, Kurt Elster, he's actually interviewing the CEO of Shopify soon. Mm-hmm. And what he did is he posted in his own Facebook group, he said, hey, what should I ask Harvey? Mm-hmm. And everyone was like, fix the blog, it sucks. Like a number of people said that.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's going to be high in their
No, and
radar,
I will say if that's what's if the technology piece of setting up a subdomain website is keeping you from creating content, put your blog on Shopify or BigCommerce. Just start creating the content there. You can embed videos. You can make you can put Pinterest pins on there. It's not the end of the world to do this. But
I'm thinking from Shopify's perspective, though, it's in their best interest to improve their blogging program.
Yes, I agree.
Because then, like, you're stuck with them forever.
Yes.
Like, moving the content off of there yes. would be
so the last thing that I haven't done is I haven't connected. So now I have two dilemmas, right? It's so funny to be doing this all over again because I'm feeling all the frustration of all the students in both courses. So because I now have a WordPress site. So when you have a blog on Shopify, it looks just like your rest of your store, right? It's the same theme, everything. WordPress, you could make a blog that looks nothing like your store, right?
Right.
Which you don't want to do. So now my thing is like, oh, now I've got to like make sure the blog matches the Shopify store as right. far as like colors, fonts, all that stuff, which is a pain. But I was in the WordPress repository of their themes the other day, and there's actually some very minimalist themes, like no header, no sidebars, like basically nothing. So I think I might go with one of those. So all I really need to do is like match the font.
Oh, why don't you just steal the header from your Shopify store and...
Yeah, I might do that, but like with like basically no other feature. Like I don't, because I don't want the blog to, it's not like a regular blog where it's like a content site where I'm also trying to make money from like advertising and affiliate, you know, like that, like a typical content.
Right. But you want your blog to look like it's still...
Yes, yes.
Okay.
But the plainer, the better, because then there's less things that I have to tweak to make it look like the other store.
I see. But are you going to even try to make it look at the other store?
Yeah, I'm going to use the same header, logo, all that stuff.
Oh, you are.
But
I just
the more you get, some of those WordPress themes are complex as far as like all the different features they have. So that means all those things have to be changed.
If that makes sense. I see. Okay. Like if all you're trying to do is change the font and the mm-hmm. and the size,
yeah.
That's like two lines.
Yes, I know.
Okay.
But the more that you have going on the theme, the more stuff you have to change.
Correct.
So, like, I probably won't have any sidebars on the blog at all.
Right.
So, just as plain as possible.
Right.
So, okay. So, the next thing that I started looking into is, so you have your Shopify store. I have seen, I actually, this is why I was on Bumblebee, too. I wanted to see where the Bumblebee blog lived on your store, and you only have it linked in the footer.
Correct.
Okay, so can you talk about why you're doing that?
Because I want it to be a one-way street. Blog to store, store, never go back to the blog.
Yeah. So, because I've noticed a lot of people have it in their header or their upper menu bar, and I was thinking like, oh, like just... coming from the blogging side, like you just put everything in your top menu that you want. But then when I started looking around, I thought, you know what? It probably just needs to live in the footer because I don't really want people leaving the store to go to the blog.
Yeah. But I mean, the theory behind that is like every page should just have one objective, mm-hmm. right? So like your homepage should be to take people to product categories. The categories should be to take people to products. The product should be add to cart and shopping cart. Page should be
yeah.
to so go to checkout. Unless you don't want to make money. And if
right,
that's the
I don't.
Case,
I don't. I want to do all this work for free.
Yeah, I've noticed that's actually a common thing that I see new people make. They just put a whole bunch of stuff in their navigation menu
mm-hmm.
that don't directly lead to revenue or don't take them on like this
yeah,
funnel
so
going
my thinking
checkout.
Was it probably makes sense to put the blog in the footer and basically treat the blog like almost like a separate entity, but the whole goal of the blog is to send people to the store.
Right.
Or to provide information about the products. Like, obviously, the whole goal is to get them to the store, but through a variety of different ways, whether it's through education, promotion, introduction, right? There's all these different ways that you can do that in a content site.
Right, yes. Or to just yes. get their
email. So then that's
email.
My next question for you, because I'm sure people will wonder this. So I have the store. Obviously, I'm probably going to set up Klaviyo just because I'm in Klaviyo every day. So I'm probably going to set up Klaviyo for email. But then on the blog, are you using Klaviyo on Bumblebee's blog to drive people?
Okay. I am.
talk about the pros and cons of that.
The only con is that it's expensive.
Yeah. Okay.
And Klaviyo doesn't have as great features for like tagging that you might need in a blog. And I guess it just depends on what type of blog you're going to have. Like if I was doing the same stuff on My Wife Quit as I was doing on Bumblebee, I would probably move to a different email provider, actually.
Okay.
But, you know, but I do a lot of stuff on My Wife Quit that I would never do on Bumblebee, you know, with like all the webinars and like tagging people all over the place, depending on all that stuff. If you plan on doing that, though, I would consider using like a ConvertKit on just the content side and using Klaviyo for just the store. And it'll be a lot cheaper.
Yeah.
But again, so, that's so complex. Like, think about it now. Now you need to log into so four different things, right?
That's what I was thinking about, because obviously I want to make things as simple as possible, because I have a very complicated blog setup that I don't like. So I was like, okay, now I get to start over again. I want to like make something very simple on when it comes to doing this project. And so I was thinking about, I guess my other thought was, how many email subscribers do you typically get from a content site attached to a store? Like, where's your primary, like, because a lot of people that I know and you know had content sites first, so they drive a lot of email. It's kind of like if you all of a sudden started selling physical products for My Wife Quit Her Job, you'd be paying out the nose for Klaviyo.
Well, I'd still use Drip, actually, since I'm already on it, and they actually have e-commerce features in there.
They do, and their e-commerce features are pretty solid. But I was thinking, I don't want to log in to two email providers. I don't want to be doing two different things. And I also wonder, like, how many people are going to actually sign up for email from the blog versus how many people will just come to the store and get on the email list either through, like, abandoned cart or a discount or a spin it to win it or post-purchase, whatever. Like, there's all these different ways people can get on your email list from your store. So am I going to have hundreds of thousands of people signing up for email from the blog? Probably not, realistically.
Well, hundreds of thousands. But I do have, like, these handful of blog posts on the Bumblebee blog that drive a lot of signups.
Yeah.
And mainly because they, like, rank number one for wedding gift for the bride.
Oh, okay.
And groomsmen gifts. Those are like my two top posts. And those actually drive a lot of email signups. So it could happen.
Yeah.
Here's why, like, running two email providers is bad too. You'll lose out on the tracking. Like, if they came in on ConvertKit and then they made a purchase on Klaviyo, you wouldn't know where that person came from. So it's generally best practice. You suck it up and just use one.
And just bite the bullet and pay.
Well, no, you just need, here's what I don't like about Klaviyo. They make it really hard for you to unsubscribe people.
Yes, they do.
Like,
they
literally do. You got to export it to, unless this has changed, you export it to a CSV file, and then you need to upload the CSV file.
No, you can create a segment now of people, but it's still a pain.
And you can automatically suppress that segment?
No, you have to take a couple steps, but you don't have to do a spreadsheet anymore.
You don't have to download the CSV and upload it again?
No, because I do it every month. Yeah.
Oh, you do?
But it's still not as easy as unsubscribing somebody in Drip.
Yeah. Man, in Drip, it's so nice.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I'm used
feel
to.
Like when you think about the different service email service providers, you suffer through some of Klaviyo's clunkiness for the power of their, I don't know what the right word is, their customer data, right? The predictive analytics, all the things that they can do on that side. So you suffer through some of the stuff that they're not as good at. And, you know, with vice versa with like Drip. I mean, ConvertKit doesn't have any e-commerce features, really. I would never use ConvertKit for e-commerce.
Yeah.
But with Drip, they do have a lot of e-commerce features. They're not as powerful as Klaviyo, but their other stuff is so easy to use. Like, because I'm in both of them almost every day. It's like the things that I can't stand about Drip, Klaviyo kills it. And the things I can't stand about Klaviyo, Drip kills it. So it's like, why can't somebody be all things?
I mean, I understand the motivation for Klaviyo to not unsubscribe people because they charge based on number of subscribers. Right? So I guess I haven't done it in a while because the last time I had to do it, I had to use a CSV spreadsheet. Maybe that's the only way I know how to do it. So you'll have to show me how to do it.
You can do it through a spreadsheet still. I do not do it that way. But you have to create a segment and you have to put all these parameters around it. And it's still a pain. It's not, it's not a very easy process. It takes me a good 15 minutes to do it once a
month. Really? Wow. Yeah. Okay, that seems like a long time. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So setting up the email provider and
got
then
yep.
The next step would be when setting up a website is to set up a pop-up.
Right.
So I know you've had the change of heart lately on pop-ups. So what are we recommending now?
So I have, you know, WordPress, what's funny about blog. That is I just had a conversation with the CEO of Privy.
Okay.
I was like, hey, what's going on here? and it's fine. They were just okay. So when they got acquired by Attentive,
mm-hmm.
which happened relatively recently, Attentive made all these changes.
Okay.
Right. And let's just say they're adding a lot of features to it.
Mm-hmm.
And what made me really mad is they actually broke our email form on Profitable yes. Audience without letting anyone know. And right. it was down like that for a week.
Yeah.
And the only way I knew was because people on Twitter were telling me that the sign up form wasn't working.
Yeah.
And I went on and I was like, yeah, you're right. And then I went through this whole thing because I hadn't touched its site. I hadn't touched
yeah,
it. I went through
yeah.
this whole rigmarole, debugging every line where, you know, where it broke. And then I found out that it was the code that was embedded on the site from Privy was broken.
Okay.
Like it was literally causing it to not even load the rest of the site. By the way,
yeah.
which incidentally is a risk for using any plugin, I should mm-hmm. say.
Yeah.
Like if it's coded in a way. Anyway, it got resolved, but I ended up removing Privy, which is what you're alluding to. For the yes. home, for my homegrown code, which I know will never break, like because I'm yeah. not going to.
Okay, for the rest of us who yeah. don't have a,
I still like Privy. Actually, I mean it's code. Super easy to use.
Okay,
and when
can
I
you
was
use Privy with WordPress?
You can use Privy okay. with any. Yeah, okay. I actually was just back in there because when I was debugging everything, I went back. The interface has actually changed in Privy.
Okay,
but it's
yeah, I haven't
it's
used
nice,
it in a while.
Actually, it's nice. They did a good job. It's easy, but I think they want to make more money now. So
mm-hmm.
I think it's still free, but mm-hmm. I think you only get like less visits now. I think it's, I can't remember exactly what the number was, but it's several thousand visits or something like that.
Okay.
And then they want you to pay.
Yeah. So easy decision for people who are just getting started because you're not going to get a lot of visits right away.
But I would just use Klaviyo's pop-up if you don't want anything special. Like, if all you're going to do is give out a coupon code, I mean, do you agree? Yeah.
I do. Okay. I've never used Klaviyo with an attached to WordPress, which is another little fun thing that I'll be doing.
Yeah, actually, I'm pretty sure.
I don't know if Klaviyo's pop-ups work on WordPress because for my client, we have to use Convert Pro form pop-up forms on the WordPress side that connects to Klaviyo.
So Klaviyo, you can definitely do it. Because I have okay. Klaviyo pop up. Those Klaviyo forms are actually on Bumblebee. Not too long ago, I want to say before, actually, it is longer. I lost 3 years during the pandemic. Before the pandemic, they actually just gave out the source code and you just cut and paste it onto your site.
Okay.
They've tried to make things easier by hiding that for the user. So the user never sees code.
Okay.
And so that's why they made it all automated with Shopify. But you can obviously still get like that code snippet that you just put on your site. Okay. It's not as user friendly.
No, it never is. But yeah.
But that's the way I prefer it, actually.
Yes, I know.
What?
But
because
for the
when
rest
they just give
us.
You, but when they just give you this little code, you have no control over what they do, and it's all hosted on their server.
Yes.
Meaning they're holding you hostage in case anything breaks. I don't want to make everyone paranoid, but stuff breaks more often than you think, and you just never know.
Yeah. Like, no, I know. Yeah. I can remember back in the day when I had a lot more plugins on my WordPress site, and the second my would go to my site and it would be broken and I would email my guy, my tech person on retainer, it immediately would be like, let me shut off each plugin and see. It was always a plugin that broke because he's like, well, have you installed any plugins lately? Well, yes, I installed the table of contents plugin. Well, that's not compatible with this plugin. So now the whole site is broken. And yeah, that's yeah. just what happens.
So that's why I'm a man of few plugins.
But for those of us who can't code.
You don't need to know how to code. You just need to be
really
selective.
I am, and I'm
going
to be very selective on the new blog because I don't want to deal with it. I've come to realize I want is less is more.
Because like stuff like that just stresses me out.
Yeah.
Well, like I don't that whole Privy thing stressed me out, actually. If there was like tons of money on the line, I would have been really stressed out. and mad. Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing too, is it's like, I want to be able to focus on the things that really move the needle in the business. And usually a plugin is not anything that moves the needle.
Right.
So, okay. So what else am I forgetting? So basically here's where I'm sitting right now. Bought my domains, have my Shopify site, have my WordPress. I have to install a theme. I got to pick one. That's not hard. That's basically like, that's something very easy to do in Bluehost. I will say, like, I know we've promoted Bluehost for a long time. And as someone who hasn't ever used Bluehost.
Really? I use Bluehost. I still use Bluehost, actually.
It's funny because you've always said it's easy to use. And so I've just if you promote something, I believe you.
Right.
Because
yeah. I wouldn't work with you. It is super easy compared to any other solution, I think. Because they do all the stuff for you.
100%. Yeah. Like, it's... I'm shocked at how easy... Like, it was so easy that I was thinking, I've missed a step. But then I went and checked everything, and it's all there. So anyway, so I've done that. Have my subdomain. Need to install my WordPress theme. Set up my email. What am I missing?
If you're in my full class, I literally just went through this whole... thing.
Did you?
Literally last week.
I should have been in an office. Oh, that's right. That was your office.
It was like the exact order that you should do things in. That was the title of that. So I had a separate one for the e-commerce store, and I have a separate one for Amazon. Mm-hmm. And maybe we should do one for a profitable audience, actually.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah. Okay, maybe I'll do that one in office hours next week. But I think you have pretty much everything. The only thing that might be missing is, I don't know, you need like a terms and conditions, privacy policy, and all that stuff.
I'm just copying that off my other site.
Yeah.
Just the standard policy for...
Yeah, and I'm trying to think what else you would need to do. I mean, aside, really, at this point, it's coming down to the plugins, right?
Yeah.
What features you need?
Are there any plugins we must... I know we have a plugin podcast episode that's a couple years old, but I mean, plugins don't really change.
Yeah, I haven't changed my plugins.
Yeah. Is there any plugin that you see out there that everyone loves and you're like, don't use it? Other than Yoast?
No, I'm still using Yoast.
I'm joking.
But
because you're always like, you don't need that. You don't need Yoast.
Well, they got acquired and they started making changes, which always makes me nervous, right? Yeah. Anytime a company gets acquired by a private equity company, like bad things are going to happen.
Yeah.
But a plugin that I... don't like, it's hard to say because I try not to use them, so a lot of times I'm not even qualified to say I don't like the plugin because I stopped using.
Well, you know what's funny is when you go to do your WordPress install on Bluehost, they automatically install plugins.
Oh, I remember Jetpack. Never use Jetpack.
Yes, they literally install that when you install your that's literally installed when you put the theme in.
Yeah,
I noticed that yesterday.
The other one that I don't like, actually, I used to like, but I don't like anymore, is Opt-in Monster.
That one, I think, also gets automatically installed.
Exactly, because there's so much like bloat that it adds, and it it tries to upsell you like a lot.
Actually. Okay.
Yeah. When all it is a pop-up. So
yeah, that's what I thought it was.
Yeah, that's an option. Like, you know, if you want to use Opt-in Monster, I think Opt-in Monster is the most popular pop-up plugin for WordPress, actually, because it comes pre-installed standard with almost a whole bunch of these providers. Like, it was very clever that they did from a business perspective.
Yeah, I mean, anytime when stuff gets automatically put in, it's pretty clever, right? Because then it's forcing you to take action to remove it, and most people don't take action. So by default, it's kind of like why SMS doesn't let you pre-check the box.
Right. Yes.
Because by default, people typically don't undo something unless they're very passionate about not having it. So, right.
Actually, we're on the other list. One more. It's from the same company.
It's all Opt-in flowing Monster out of you now.
It's the Google Analytics, you know, Monster Insights. I would get rid of that. They'll charge you just to install Google Analytics or something like that. I can't remember exactly now.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. Well, that would be actually a step that we didn't talk about, is installing
Analytics.
Yeah. Which I haven't gotten to that yet. That's still on my list.
So at the time of this recording right now, Google's undergoing a transition to Google Analytics 4.
Yes.
But like a lot of the major platforms don't have out of the box support for it. And that just makes me really, like Shopify, for example, doesn't.
Yeah.
Right? which makes me very suspicious.
Yeah.
Right? Like, why aren't these large companies adopting it? And I tried it and I didn't like the interface. I'm like, I'm just going to put this off.
But then it's not collecting data.
It's not collect. Well, it's still collecting data, but I didn't implement the rest of the stuff, like the e-commerce stuff, because there's not as much data. So why would I want to upgrade to something that's not as good?
Yeah.
What I suspect will happen, and maybe we can listen to this like next year, Google's going to delay that migration, because I don't think they called me every single day asking me to migrate.
Wow. Okay.
Like my store, they were calling Bumblebee. And they were very persistent. So something's up.
Yeah. Okay. Final question about the blog. And then I have some closing thoughts about all this. But do you leave comments on for your blog or off?
I think I do a hybrid now where I leave it on until
for
30
days.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But no one comments anymore on blogs.
No, I know. But I just, it's funny. Like all these like decisions I have to make again.
Oh, I see.
You know, like, because that's one of the things that you can set up is like have the comments stop after 30 days, you know, whatever. There's like a couple different things you can do. And it's stuff that I haven't thought about in 100 years. So
I think social media destroyed blog commenting.
I agree. I agree. Okay. Sorry. I had one more question and then my final thoughts. So I was going to link the social media properties on the blog. Like, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever we're, you know, doing. What about on the store? Do you link those on your store?
I do. You'll notice they're all in the footer.
Yeah. I didn't check on that one because I just thought of that question a minute ago.
Yeah. But actually, there is a website, ironically, that I'm critiquing this afternoon, where they put like all the social media in the menu.
Okay.
And again, it's the same one-way street thing, right? You want them to come to the store.
Right. Okay. Okay, so here's my thoughts after spending my free time this week setting all this up.
Okay.
Because I was trying to go about it from the perspective of a student in one of our courses. Because I'm thinking, okay, I'm doing all of this from scratch. Because we create a lot of tutorials, but we just create snippets of certain actions, right? It's like, here's how you do this very specific thing. We don't, because it would be ridiculous to create a tutorial of doing the entire thing at once, because there's no way anyone could like follow that over, you know, be 4-hour tutorial. If you can power through some of this stuff, like if you don't have a background in technology, WordPress, coding, if you can just like read those tutorials and power through and get it done, you've already outworked probably 99% of your competition. Because it's truly not that difficult to implement and do. It's just a knowledge gap between what you know now and what you're going to know in 10 days. And so if you can just struggle through it, you're going to have a leg up because most people aren't willing to work that hard to get to.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode. Now, for more information about this episode, go to profitableaudience.com/podcast, where we list all of the tools and resources mentioned in our show notes.
And if you enjoyed listening to this episode, please go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. When you write us a review, it not only makes our day, but it helps keep this podcast up in the ranks so other people can use this information, find the show more easily, and get some awesome business advice.
Leaving a review is by far the best way to support the show. And please tell your friends, because the greatest compliment that you can give us is to provide a referral to someone else, either in person or to share it on the web.
And if you're interested in building your own profitable audience, subscribe to our free 6-day mini course where we walk you through the exact steps needed to find your niche, build a website, grab email subscribers, and monetize your content. You can sign up at profitableaudience.com/free.
Thanks for listening.